The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 7th through Sunday, October 13th, 2024. The commentary for September was written by Joseph Yu, Vicar of Mosaic Episcopal Church, a church plant in the Diocese of Texas. He is also the author of When the Saints Go Flying In. The commentary for Monday, October 7th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, chapter 14, verse 1a. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Here's the commentary. After attending a Los Angeles Clippers game, we were accosted by, I presume, well-meaning Christians standing outside the facility who implored us to repent or we would be faced with hell. I don't think repentance has to be so brimstone and hellfire. To repent simply means to return. What are we returning to? We're simply returning to the life God has always intended for us. By repenting, I'm acknowledging that I tried to live my life my way, and, well, it didn't work out very well. When I repent, I acknowledge that I long to return to the life God has always intended for me to live. I feel like that's a more powerful message. Return to the life that God always intended for you. Return to the life that you were meant to live, rather than repent or go to hell. And now I'm going to read the passage from Hosea. This is chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all guilt, except that which is good, and we will offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. We will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. In you the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their disloyalty. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall strike the root like the forests of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like that of Lebanon. They shall again live beneath my shadow. They shall flourish as a garden. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. Your faithfulness comes from me. Those who are wise understand these things. Those who are discerning know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them. But transgressors stumble in them. And the moving forward question for this Monday, October 7th, are you living the life God has intended for you? What needs to change so that that can happen? The commentary for Tuesday, October 8th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 14b. And Jesus said, young man, I say to you, rise. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many of you were taught that growing up? For me, it's one of the biggest lies from my childhood. I may have forgotten the physical cuts, bruises, and scars I received growing up, but the words still linger decades after childhood. Words have far more power than we give them credit. Words have the power to give life. Words have the power to ruin lives as well. Twice in this chapter, Jesus uses words to heal. In the beginning, God spoke the universe into existence. Words have power. And as Uncle Ben of Spider-Man fame said, with great power comes great responsibility. We should all be aware of the power of our words. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Soon afterwards, he went into a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, who will you offer words of life and encouragement to today? The commentary for Wednesday, October 9th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 22a. "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard." There's an iconic scene from a movie called Saved, where Hilary Fay, who claims to be a devout Christian, attempts to perform an exorcism on her schoolmate Mary to save her soul. Mary resists and accuses Hillary of not knowing anything about love. Hillary ends the argument by screaming, "I am filled with Christ's love," and then hurls her Bible at Mary's head. Hillary's actions betray her words. We all know that actions speak louder than words. I'm haunted and challenged by Jesus' response to the question that John's disciples ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Well, Jesus doesn't simply answer yes. He tells them to report to John not only the things they've heard, but also the things that Jesus has done. His actions are aligned with his testimony. I tend to rely on words to tell people I am a follower of Christ. One of my constant struggles is having words that are more beautiful than my life. It's easy, maybe even preferable, to hide behind words. But Jesus challenges us to follow him, to imitate him. Jesus invites us not only to tell a good story, but to live a good story. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 18 through 35. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?'" Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and had given sight to many who were blind. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who put on fine clothing and live in luxury are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you go.' I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John, yet the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And all the people who heard this, including the tax collectors, acknowledged the justice of God, because they had been baptized with John's baptism. But by refusing to be baptized by him, the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves. "To what then will I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Nevertheless, wisdom is vindicated by all her children." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, which is louder, your words or your actions? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, October 10th. It begins with a passage from Luke chapter 7, verse 44a. "Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman?'" Simon the Pharisee throws a party at his house, and this woman crashes it, committing a social faux pas and angering Simon to the point where Jesus can read his mind. Then Jesus asks a question that I think is one of the most profound in the Gospels. "Do you see this woman?" Simon probably thinks, "Of course I see this woman. Why do you think I'm so angry?" But all Simon the Pharisee can see is this objectionable presence at his party. All he can see is the sum of her sins. Jesus isn't asking if Simon notices her presence. He is asking if Simon could see her humanity, see the image of God she bears. One of the consequences of following Jesus is that he changes how we see things. Following Jesus shapes us to see how Jesus sees. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with them, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And the moving forward question for this day, can you look beyond the labels and stereotypes you've given people and instead see their humanity and the image of God in them? Now the commentary for Friday, October 11th, the day on which we celebrate the feast day of St. Philip. It begins with a passage from Luke chapter 5, verse 5a. "A sower went out to sow his seed." In this parable, we can conclude that God is a horrible farmer. Seeds are a valuable commodity, and yet here is God scattering seeds anywhere and everywhere. Less of a skilled farmer, God seems more like a toddler given some seeds to do whatever she pleases, giggling joyfully as she throws seeds everywhere. Horrible farming strategy aside, we encounter a beautiful and joyful image of generosity and grace in this story. God doesn't assess whether the soil is worthy, ready, or primed to receive the seed. God just sows. How often have we refrained from acts of love and kindness because we either felt that the people were not ready for it, or worse, they did not deserve our acts of love and kindness? If this parable teaches me anything, it's that I am called to love indiscriminately and unconditionally. Instead of assessing the soil and determining if it's ready or worthy of our time and love, we should follow the example of the sower and be generous with our time and love. And now I'll read the full passage of the Gospel of Luke for this day. It's from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. "Soon afterwards he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. When a great crowd gathered and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. And the moving forward question for this Friday, how will you be generous with your time and your love today? The commentary for Saturday, October 12th, begins with a passage from Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." I recently learned that there's not much difference scientifically between a dove and a pigeon, yet the way we perceive a dove and pigeon vastly differs. We like doves, pigeons, not so much. A study found that the reason why we don't like pigeons is because they're everywhere. They constantly invade what we think are human spaces. They keep crossing the invisible boundaries that separate civilization and the wild. In this season of my life, I resonate with the Holy Spirit being personified with a pigeon rather than a dove. The other side of the lake was a place of Gentiles, a place the disciples would not have gone on their own volition. Jesus crossed invisible boundaries set up by tradition and laws. He associated with people that the faithful were not supposed to spend time with. He touched people that religious laws forbade them to touch. Theologian Willie Jennings profoundly asks, "Where is the Holy Spirit leading us? And into whose lives?" And now I'm going to read from the Gospel for today, Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 25. "No one, after lighting a lamp, hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to light. Then pay attention to how you listen. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who do not have, even what they seem to have will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." But he said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, and the boat was filled with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing!" And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, where is the Spirit leading you today? Now, as we near the end of the program and of this week as well, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, October 13th. It is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Mark 10, verse 22. When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. I've heard so many sermons and lessons based on this story of the rich man, but what struck me this time in reading the story is that the man is solely focused on what he has to give up. By fixating on what he has to lose, the man misses out on what he could gain. It's a natural response when at the crossroads of an uncertain, unwritten future and the status quo, it's easier to settle for the things we are familiar with and take a leap of faith. Instead of leaning into what could be, we resign to what is. Jesus is pushing this man to see what could be, inviting him to see what he could and would gain. But the man is blinded by what is. When we're invited to follow Jesus, we step into an unwritten future. It's a risky invitation. When you find yourself at these crossroads, I hope your sights are set not solely on what you could lose, but also on the abundance you are invited to step into. Sure, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds it. And now I'll read from the passage from Mark chapter 10, verses 7 through 22. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and not be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery or steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I've kept all these things since my youth." Jesus looked at him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. And that concludes our program for today. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Goodbye until next time.